Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talent,
share our finances. Welcome, welcome, most of all, everybody, to the Odyssey Village and join me the female
every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring
about the issues here today. I do need to please. It is raining in Florida. It's raining. Papers putting up the roof on. So they had to pause the button. Who does get our daily topic? But anyway, well, to your email and your smartphone. So we're talking about solutions to America's hospital crisis. The number one solution starts with a C, letter C. So I want you to let me know what you think that is. Letter C, the number one solution to America's hospital crisis. So we're going to welcome our global family. And then we will get into our drink.
Changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, ni hao. In India, namaste. In Japan, konnichiwa. In Korea, annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, zdravstvuyte. In Germany, guten tag. In Poland, dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Welcome, welcome, bienvenido, everybody. Welcome. I am part of the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio family here in my tiny house, as you saw the pictures. But we want to remind all our listeners that the Female Solution believes that the global family is one energy-producing human vessel. We are all one, as the song goes. We are all one. So please, please, please keep that in mind as you go about your day, that we are all one. Even if some people appear to be acting crazy, that's your crazy relative, really. So we want to send out all that love in the beginning of the show to all our global family, and we do the same at the end. We send thank you to the global family at the end of the show. But right now, I know why you're here. You want to do some joint rolling? No, not that kind, but this kind. Because why should we roll our joints? If you don't use it, you lose it. That's the saying goes. And we're talking about this organs, tissues, microcosmic energy. And rolling joints primarily does three things. It improves your circulation. It helps your lymphatic system drain all the toxins and the things you don't need anymore. And it improves your immune system. And that's so important right now with the weather getting colder. So that's why we come here every Friday and roll up some joints, and we really are getting high on another level. I got high in the 70s, 80s, boom, I'm out of that period, but now I'm getting high on life and my energy from my body. I've been fasting a little bit for the last 3 days. I feel so good. All the inflammation that was going on in my body is not there. And the reality is also, our reality is unseen. Something like 80% of our reality is invisible. Well, we've got a lot of cosmic energy, universal energy floating around that affects everyone on planet Earth. But I'm especially grateful today for the rain because a friend of mine sent me this scary index of the air in Florida is at high level of, I guess you could say, pollution, toxicity, whatever. But it's been raining for the last 2 days. So I'm believing the rain is cleaning up the air in Florida. I hope it's raining where you are too, because rain brings us negative ions, which are good, good, good for the body, for the breath, for the air. Thank you for the rain. Rain, rain, rain. So we are here this morning to do some joint rolling because we love ourselves. We want to fly, fly, fly. That's what we do. We fly. Fly is an acronym for first love yourself. So later on, we're going to be talking about the hospital crisis in America. The one, number one solution in opinion starts with a C. So if you can tell me what you think that C word is, that's the number one solution to America's hospital crisis. I would love to hear from you. What is the solution that starts with a C, the letter C, that will bring the peace and resolution for the crisis that America is in with hospitals? So let's get busy. Roll in some joints for those of you who may be new to health and well-being. We start out rolling this big head around to the music of Time for Healing. This music by The Sounds of Blackness is just so perfect. I love this music. The words, I listen to the words, I repeat the words to you because they're so relevant right now for everything that's going on in our world. So we start with our head rolling around, getting these neck muscles stretched out because this is a lot of weight carrying this body around, rolling in both directions. Then we go to our shoulders. We roll our shoulders back and forward. We do some swimming in the sea of energy. And then we get on our back, kick our legs up, and start rolling the ankles and the wrist. And then we get our elbows and knees rolled, and we roll on our side and roll our legs around to get our hip synovial fluid moving on both sides. And then I'll show you some different ways to make those movements. If the roll is difficult for you, there is an easier way than rolling around all these parts. So thank you again for joining me, because we together, collectively, we are going to solve America's hospital crisis by rolling our joints. And so let's get busy with Time for Healing by The Sounds of Black.
Roll.
roll forward. Breathe in. To have healing. Homes and big struggle. No one tries to. All right. And let's back. But pain is a sickness that is hard back to cover. And it's the reason. There you go. All right. Bring forward. Drop. Put a little massage. Yes, loving it. The spine needs some action today, too. Breathe in. Take a deep breath. Deep breath in. And exhale. Inhale, exhale. Now let's roll to one side and push up. Come up. And we did it, we did it, we did it, yay! So we want to now rub those hands together, get some heat going in those hands, rub those hands together so we could give our vagus nerve some energy because that is the most important pathway in the body to the microbiome. place those hands on the back of the neck, squeeze and release. Breathe in, squeeze and release. Breathe in, squeeze and release. Breathe in, squeeze, release. Breathe in and release. Breathe in and release. Breathe in and release. Now let's just pat down our arms. Love, love, love. The skin is the most, is the largest organ, external organ in your body. It is actually an organ. It has life in it. It has blood in it. Yes. And then give your thymus gland. This is important for your immune system. Pat down that thymus gland. Love, love on it. Don't forget the breast. Always, always give your breast a little love, love, love. Massage, massage. Go down to your microbiome area around the navel, around the navel. Give it a little love pat. And then last but not least, these kidneys back here and adrenal glands need a little love too. Pat down your adrenal glands. Kidneys are in this area. Give them a love pat. I love you, kidneys. Thank you, kidneys, for all the great work they do. And your adrenal glands. All of that is building up your hormonal system, your circulation, and more. Woo-hoo! We give thanks. We give thanks. Now, we're going to go to our studio so we can talk about the crisis today. Yep, we got another crisis going here. It's called hidden. Actually, the hospital crisis is a hidden one because most of us don't go to the hospital every day, but in emergencies, we do need a hospital sometimes. If you're in a serious car accident, then you need a hospital more than likely, and the ambulance and all that goes with that. So what is actually going on in America? And I asked the question from the beginning of the show, that what do you think the C word, the word that begins with a C, is the number one solution to the American hospital crisis? And give me your thoughts either in YouTube. You can make comments on YouTube. We're live on YouTube, Beata's Tiny House Village. Or you can go to Facebook Live, Soul Purpose Healing, or right here in Blog Talk Studios, press 1 if you have an answer to the question of, or to the question, what is the C, the word that begins with C, that is the number one solution to America's hospital crisis? So I want to start out this morning, as I do, with some information about the problem. We have lots of information on YouTube that tells us the problem. I have tons of information to share with you. So number one, 30% of rural hospitals are closing their hospitals. Rural communities are closing their hospitals. That information. Well, let me start with, 30%. This gives you an idea of the problem. And if you think you're in an urban area that you're safe, think again. The C word is the clue to the solving the problem. But let me play 30%. So how many, I wonder how many of you actually live in a rural area? Probably not many of you. But we can't be fooled into thinking that this is not going to affect us, because I have some information about Atlanta, Georgia, being one of those places that is closing down. So Atlanta, Georgia is a huge metropolitan area that is that has been affected by this change in hospitals closing and the crisis that's upon it. So let's look at, first of all, why 30% of rural hospitals are closing.
In the middle of the night, Byron's tripling found himself driving 110 miles per hour in search of critical medical care for his pregnant wife, Harmony. She was in the passenger seat and was due in 4 days.
Between 12:30 and 1 a.m., she came in the room and was complaining about having chest pains.
The couple lived in Belzoni, Mississippi, a city whose only hospital had closed 8 years earlier. The closest hospital was 30 minutes away, and Harmony needed medical attention immediately.
She was, you know, having seizures or heart attack. I was driving. I had my AirPods in, and I called 911, and they were telling me that she needed immediate oxygen, so they needed me to pull over right then and start CPR.
And that's exactly what Byron did, on the side of the road, in the dark, 2 minutes from the Yazoo City Hospital. The ambulance took another 15 minutes to get to the scene, but it was too late.
If my wife had had oxygen sooner, it's a possibility that my daughter would have survived. And who's to say it's a possibility that she would have survived?
Tragedies like Byron's play out all across rural America, where a total of 195 hospitals have closed since 2005, and 600 more are on the line. These hospitals aren't closing because rural Americans require less care. No, that would make too much sense. What's actually playing out in plain sight is maddening. Health insurance companies and politicians playing partisan games have conspired to create a crisis with life-threatening implications. Byron's home state of Mississippi is the poster child for this. Nearly 50% of the state's rural hospitals are currently in danger of closing. So we went to the Magnolia State to investigate what happened, who exactly is responsible, and how simple solutions with nearly zero cost could stop these lethal closures, potentially saving lives like Harmony's.
Where we're sitting at today is in the closed wing of the hospital. We have two, a west and an east wing, 25-bed inpatient unit. And so on this side, we closed it down a little bit less than a year ago.
Lee McCall is the CEO of Neshoba County General Hospital in Philadelphia, Mississippi, one of the 34 hospitals at risk of closing. Rural hospitals like Lee McCall's face three main obstacles to staying afloat: private health insurance companies not paying enough, Medicare not paying enough, and partisan politics keeping far too many Americans uninsured. I'm going to take you through all three of these, one by one. To start, let's talk about the first obstacle for rural hospitals: private insurance companies.
There is one big difference that we've seen in terms of the hospitals that have closed and are at risk of closing and those that have not closed and are not at risk, and that is how much they're being paid by private insurance plans.
That's Harold Miller, the author of this report on rural hospital closures.
The tradition in America for many years has been that healthcare providers and insurance plans negotiate to determine what's the right amount to pay. And the challenge is that bigger hospitals are in a much better position to negotiate with a big insurance plan than a small hospital is. So in many cases, the insurance plan says, here's what we're going to pay you. We're not negotiating. And so rural hospitals are increasingly now facing greater losses because their costs have been increasing, and the payments to be able to address those costs have not been increasing proportionately.
Harold advocates for changing the structure of how insurance plans pay hospitals, particularly small rural hospitals like Neshoba General.
But rather than simply paying them whenever they deliver a service, it would actually make sense to pay them for both of those services that they deliver. A standby capacity payment that gives them enough payment to be able to cover the minimum cost of being on standby for emergencies and other essential services.
States have the power to intervene and moderate hospital prices. One state in particular has done a great job addressing this. In Maryland, the state government regulates the fees that hospitals charge for services and requires all insurers to pay those fees in full. This means private insurers are barred from underpaying rural hospitals. As a result, Maryland has fewer rural hospital closures than any other state in the U.S. The second obstacle for rural hospitals is Medicare. Medicare has long been one of the best payers for rural hospitals, but that changed under Ronald Reagan.
In the 1980s, when the federal government changed how Medicare was going to reimburse all hospitals, it had a much greater impact negatively on rural hospitals than I think, that they anticipated.
Chad Netterville is the executive director for the Rural Hospital Alliance of Mississippi, a network of 41 rural hospitals collaborating to survive in this catastrophic environment. Chad explained that instead of reimbursing hospitals the full cost of delivering a health service, Medicare began to pay a fixed fee for each service. But they based that fixed fee on data from big city hospitals, neglecting the fact that small rural hospitals tended to require more money to deliver the same services. This is because there are fewer patients, and therefore fewer payments to sustain basic hospital services. Over 400 rural hospitals closed in the 80s and 90s because of this change in Medicare funding. The government's response to these closures was to create a special category of Medicare funding for rural hospitals in 1997.
They were doing things to create an opportunity for these rural hospitals to stay open and survive, because they did not and couldn't afford, nor did the larger hospitals want all these rural hospitals to close.
But in the decades since that change, budget cuts have eroded that funding, as has the fact that more and more patients are moving to Medicare Advantage plans, which puts private insurers, driven by profit motives, in charge of paying hospitals. In an effort to address this issue, Congress has introduced the Save Rural Hospitals Act, which would establish a fairer Medicare reimbursement rate for care. If passed, it could bring desperately needed federal money to rural hospitals and help avert closures. The third culprit behind rural hospital closures is more political and petty. In 2010, Democrats expanded Medicaid to cover hundreds of thousands of uninsured Americans. But Republicans in many states, including Mississippi, refused to expand the program. Not because it would cost the state anything, just out of pure political spite.
Here in Mississippi, your leader stood strong and stopped the expansion of Obamacare.
And that brings us to our third obstacle, Republicans' refusal to expand Medicaid, a decision that has unnecessarily left 230,000 Mississippians uninsured. Unsurprisingly, states that did not expand Medicaid or only chose to do so during the pandemic account for nearly 75% of rural hospital closures in the last 10 years.
About 10% of what we do is uninsured, uncompensated care. When a patient walks through the door, we take care of them, irregardless of their ability to pay, and we worry about that part later. The actual cost attributed to uncompensated care is around $5 million. So annually out the gate, we're in the hole $5 million that we're trying to make up.
Expanding Medicaid would provide $1 billion to the state from federal coffers to help cover the cost of health care.
It would help our hospital by offsetting the uncompensated care costs. It would help those individuals who are uninsured or underinsured be able to access health care and have it paid for without jeopardizing their livelihood or ability to, you know, put food on the table or pay their bills.
Despite widespread support from healthcare groups and the majority of Mississippians, expanding Medicaid has remained politically contentious, so much so that it has become the defining issue of this year's governor's race between incumbent Tate Reeves and Democratic challenger Brandon Presley.
Right now, there are 38 more rural hospitals just like the one I'm standing in, and they're on the brink of shutting their doors. If hospitals continue to close, the impact will be catastrophic.
But it looks like the tides may actually be shifting. Though Governor Tate Reeves remains opposed to Medicaid expansion, the incoming Speaker of the State House, a Republican, has suddenly put Medicaid expansion on the table.
I will admit and say, there's a reckoning coming for health care, not just in Mississippi, but nationwide.
Disasters like Byron's are avoidable. State legislators need to expand Medicaid, Congress needs to pass the Save Rural Hospitals Act, and states need to step up and regulate private insurance companies. For people all across rural America, this is a matter of life and death.
Thanks for watching, and as always, don't forget to like and subscribe to see more videos like this one.
So as you heard, he said there's a reckoning coming for the whole country. So one more before we go to the break. Atlanta, that's a huge metropolitan area, and there's the reckoning is coming there as well. So let me play this quick summary of the Atlanta Medical Center that's also closing. So we're looking at not just rural communities that have this crisis with hospitals closing, but urban areas as well. And And they point a very scary picture of how people, it's a life and death situation. But there's a C word that I'm looking for out there. If you want to type it in, hold, press 1. What is the word that starts with C? That is the number one solution. We're going to bring more than one solution, but I believe the C word is the biggest solution to the America's hospital crisis. So let's listen to what's going on in Atlanta, Georgia, still in the South. But
right now there are a lot of concerns after one of Atlanta's level one trauma centers announced its closing.
And so now several lawmakers are looking for solutions for everyone in Metro Atlanta so you don't lose out on any level of care when that moment happens. So just today, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock sent a letter to the CEO of WellStar saying in part that this potential closure will strain Atlanta's already stretched thin healthcare system and jeopardize Atlantans' access to care. I will be doing everything in my power to stop this closure. Atlanta Medical Center's closing is actually part of a nationwide trend.
Yeah, rural hospitals have been impacted most, but dozens have also closed in big cities like Atlanta in the last decade or so. 11 Alive's Doug Richards is live at Atlanta Medical Center with more.
An analyst I talked to who researches this sort of thing calls the healthcare economy the survival of the fattest. Atlanta Medical Center is closing at least in part because its inner city clientele couldn't support it economically. Contrast that with Emory Healthcare, rooted in a prestigious teaching hospital with clinics reaching deep into Atlanta's wealthy suburbs.
The bigger teaching hospitals have a large advantage in reputation.
Alan Sager at Boston University has tracked hospital closings in nearly every major city in America since 2010. He says the hospitals that do the best job of reaching wealthier and better insured patients are the ones most likely to survive.
The well-insured patients from higher income suburbs will come into a city to the major teaching hospital, but not to the lower reputation one.
Sager says teaching hospitals also have fewer staffing issues and lots of medical students to help when human resources are in a pinch. Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens says he expects to meet with leaders of this hospital next week in a faint hope to try to keep it open. In Northeast Atlanta, Doug Richards, 11 Alive News.
All right, there you have it. Both Mississippi and Atlanta. And as they both explained, this is not just a rural problem. It's a big city problem. It's going to happen more and more. The number one solution starts with the C, the letter C. I'm looking for some answers before I give you that solution that I'm thinking of. And so what do you think the number one solution is that starts with a C? And our beautiful female solution hosts are hinting at it. Naima Latif says, Grand Rising, beautiful and wise teacher. This crisis will perhaps motivate people to be more responsible for their personal wellness. Hospitals are a business. Thank you, Naima. That's the big point. Profiting from, amen, we must create healing centers. So she's hinting at the big C word. And our Monday morning host, Delva, says, Grand Rising, great teacher. Thanks for sharing such truth. Yes, we are talking about some reality truths that are going to affect anyone who has an emergency. And that happens. We never know when that's going to happen, right? When is the emergency going to happen? We never know. But we want to be prepared. And we're going to be showing you today how to be prepared to avoid the emergencies, number one, but also to do the big C word. So you don't have to worry or have fear. So we're going to take a big quick commercial break. And I'm looking for that C word. Anybody have any ideas what that C word is? The number one solution for this problem of America's hospital crisis.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Yes, it is. We're talking today about America's hospital crisis. If you're just joining us, we just shared two examples from Atlanta. This is happening. But as they said, this is something that we're warning could happen in your city, coming to a city near you. And there's a C word that I'm saying is the number one solution to this problem. I'm waiting for some of you to give me the C word. What is the C word that's the number one solution? In the meantime, we're going to keep going with education. One thing you keep hearing is that this is a healthcare problem, healthcare system, healthcare this, healthcare that, but no one is really talking about the sick care system. That is the problem. That's the number one problem within this hospital crisis, is that we have been promoting sickness. And the whole medical system, corporation system, is really about sick care system, not health care. So as we go, you're going to hear that word. But this next audio is going to show you about the medicine is sick. The medicine itself is sick, And then later we're going to go into a little history of how it all started, this way of allopathic medicine treating sick symptoms versus promoting health. But let's listen to another audio about how medicine is sick.
In tonight's cover story, the health of medicine.
Medical reporter Dana Baer looks at a system coming out of pandemic but still experiencing sickness.
Those who care for sick patients know the system is in crisis. But if medicine is sick, how will healthcare workers take care of themselves so that patients can get better? Over the next several weeks, we talk with doctors, nurses, and administrators about medicine. People are leaving the profession. Wait times to get help are astronomical, while face-to-face time with a healthcare provider is minimal. Examining medicine under a microscope, the only diagnosis is sick. But caregivers say, even as they feel as if they're drowning, they're committed to finding a way to stay afloat.
My name is Marie Cheslick. I am a registered nurse, and I'm also a sommelier and a small business owner. I have started my own wine business. I do wine consultation under Slick Wines, and we do wine tastings, which has been so much fun.
How different is that?
Surprisingly, it's kind of similar to what I was doing before in that it's all the things I liked about nursing. I get to talk with people and I get to educate. And I kind of wanted just to start with one of my favorite natural wines right now. I just talk more about wine than diabetes medication. So if you have a clear wine, it's not necessarily because it was fine. Faults are pretty much just bacteria in wine that's not really supposed to grow in there. Of course, just like a gut biome or a human biome.
So when people ask you when you're doing one of these wine tastings, why are you here if you have a nursing degree?
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell them?
I don't get that question very often, which is, I think, also affirming to why I do what I do. I think even before the pandemic, there's lots of people who wouldn't sign up to be a nurse. They're like, I don't want to do that. Like, yeah, maybe it's a good job, but I'm not doing it, right? But now more than ever, people go, oh, you were a nurse, now you're this? Okay, that makes sense.
My name is Michelle Berg, and I'm a clinical informatics specialist.
If I had asked you this a month ago, what would you have said? What's your name and what's your job?
My name is Michelle Berg and I'm a NICU nurse.
What was the most rewarding part of your job?
The day-to-day, just being able to teach a new mom how to do basic things and seeing the outcomes of their success. These were a set of twins I took care of in the NICU over 20 years ago, and they're probably in college now.
And they came back to see me
when they were 16.
So why the change?
I was kind of burnt out. I was just doing the same thing over and over and over, and I really wasn't growing. I needed to do something different. For me, that might have been one of the other factors that really drove me out of bedside was that 12-hour shift. You know, getting up at 5, leaving at 6, getting home at 8:30. 3 days a week. That doesn't always work. Currently, we are seeing a brain drain in the hospitals, really at the bedside.
I worry about keeping people alive. Like, yes, of course, keeping people safe, but at bare minimum, I should have to worry about, am I a good enough nurse today or am I staffed enough today to keep people alive?
When you said full patient load, what was full patient load in 2015 compared to full patient load in 2022?
It was 4 patients to 1 nurse during the day shift, and the night shift was either 4 or 5 to 1.
And what is it now?
I was pulling 7, 8 on the day shift.
partners. Depending on the orders or if I'm just busy with another patient, whether it's I'm at a procedure with them or something worse, like if I'm doing a code on someone, sometimes that takes an hour or two, and it just leaves my potentially six other patients high and dry. It's a labor-intensive job. It can be very hard, but I feel like I don't have any days where I can catch my breath, and I don't have any days where I can get every patient what they need, especially when it comes to pain management. It seems like such a simple thing, but it's increasingly harder to do the simple things for patients these days.
And how much does it pain you to think that they're sitting there in pain waiting for you to come to their room?
It's hard, but I also can't, like, I can't think about it too much because it puts my other patients at either at risk or in the same situation. I just have to shelf it in my head somewhere until the shift is over.
But obviously, it didn't just end the shift.
No.
It ended your nursing career, at least for now.
At least for now. There's only so much a person can take, and I needed to take care of myself at the end of the day, too, as much as I take care of my patients.
It's not all about money. It's about well-being. It's about not having heart palpitations when, you know, you're in the middle of a situation at the hospital that requires you to think very calmly. Those adrenaline rushes over time can really wear you down.
So do you feel like you're not escaping, but you're moving in order to ultimately make things better?
I never left the bedside because I didn't like the bedside. I left the bedside just to become a different type of patient advocate. I became an advocate for safety, really.
So it sounds like you have hope for the future.
I do. I have hope. I still think that there's a lot of bright people going to nursing and medicine. I would never inhibit anyone to go into it, but I would just say tread with caution and understand what you're going to be doing for the next 5, 10, 20 years, however long you decide to stay in it, because it's a long road.
What's the answer?
Just giving nurses the resources they need and making sure we have safe nurse to patient ratios would be the biggest thing.
Be an advocate for your well-being, and knowing that nursing is a tough field, that if you want to do it in the long haul, you have to really pace yourself. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Really, I think if we listen to nurses at the bedside and physicians at the bedside and actually heed their calling and inform choices based on what they're saying, we're going to be better off.
Seeing solutions.
Observation about the people who are in that system, nurses, doctors, how stressful it's been and how the system creates stress. So this whole system of hospitals, drugs, and sickness needs to be, something needs to happen. I'm looking for that C word, and I have a hand up, so let me open the mic to 3213. Okay, we're looking for one solution to the hospital crisis. 3213, your mic is open.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom. Good morning. How are you? What's your solution with the C word?
I'm blessed. A C word that I was thinking about was, actually it could be a double C word. But community and or community consciousness, because I'm thinking that within the community you have all these skills, various skills. And if the people in the community become conscious of a situation such as what's prevailing, the closing of the hospitals and all of that, then by virtue of that community awareness, that community could meet, discuss the issues, determine what skills are available, medical skills, natural remedy skills, or whatever that might be, and together they could formulate a system that could alleviate certain problems. And so, you know, that's a C word that I thought about that could be present, you know, could present sort of a solution. But I know, understand that in the community, legally speaking, you can only go so far. But to me,
yes,
that could help. That could be a help in the situation.
Thank you. Community and consciousness. Thank you, Mikhail in Melbourne, where it's raining probably. Thank you. We'll come back to you. My C word, which Mikhail did a good job getting close to it, but it's a simple word, change, change. What is the solution to a broken, sick care, hospital, American crisis? Change. So I want to start with the change in a class that my dad took. My dad talked about this class all my life that he took in college that changed his life. It's called The Psychology of Adjustment. And this class is actually a legitimate Psych 2410 class. So I'm going to play a two-minute explanation of the psychology of adjustment, because when you are faced with something in your community like hospitals closing, the big solution is change. You're going to have to change. And guess what? Change is probably the hardest thing for people to do. Once we are faced with truth, capital T, it reminds us we need to make a change. When you hear truth that you've never heard before, you can either keep going with the lies that you've been told, or you can start making a change. So this class, Psychology of Adjustment, which is going to lead us into more of what, like Mikhail mentioned, consciousness, community, but it helps us to become more aware, adjusting our thinking into making different decisions. So here we go, Psychology
Hi,
of Adjustment.
Hunter, and I'm a mentor here at Cal Southern University. This is the introduction to Psychology 2410. It's a psychology of adjustment. In this class, you're going to look at yourself more than other people. We have a theory in psychology, and that is you got to know yourself before you can know your clients and your patients. So before you can help others, you got to help yourself. You got to make sure yourself is balanced and that you have good mental health. So in this course, we're going to look at things that stress you out. We're going to look at your love skills, and how you were raised, and how you adjust to new things in life. So what stresses you out in life? Maybe bad drivers, maybe work. To get rid of your stress, what do you do? That's one of the things we're going to look at, is how do you deal with stress yourself? There's two types of stress. There's good stress, and there's bad stress. We have to have stress in our life to survive. So some of you that think that all the stress is bad, that's not necessarily true. A lot of the stress is good stress, and that helps us give thrive to what we want to do in life. The other topic we're going to look at is intimacy and love. We're going to look at patterns that your parents taught you in the home. As you grew up as a child, how did you see your parents interact with each other? This might not seem like a big part of psychology of adjustment, but to become who you are, you had to see examples. So the way you love and the way you interact with people is a result from how your parents loved and how they interacted. Now, some of you came from a single parent home. That's okay. You still learned love skills. It didn't have to be a two-parent home. I think you're really going to enjoy this course. You're going to learn a lot about yourself, and you're going to learn a lot about others. To be able to help your patients, you first have to be able to help yourself. I look forward to meeting you and working with you in this class.
All right, so the psychology of adjustment is where the solution to the hospital, American hospital crisis begins, in my opinion, because it forces us to look at ourselves, as she said, what stresses you, what are your needs, and in the process, healing your body so that when an emergency occurs, you may not even have to be admitted to a hospital. You might be able to go to an emergency clinic, which is one of the ways, I believe, as was mentioned by Mikael, community and consciousness. What do you need in your community that will replace the big hospital corporation? Now, we're going to look at right now where this all started. Why have our societies been observing the growth of these huge monster buildings called hospitals that are providing sick care? Not health care, but sick care. How do I know? You're laying in a bed, for instance, for days, which is the worst thing anyone could be doing to improve what we do in joint rolling, circulation, immune system, lymphatic system. So that environment itself, you're going to be put in a bed. You got to sit there until you get all the drugs you need to worsen and cause more symptoms. So how many of you think we need to keep this system? Not me. I'm like celebrating when a hospital's closing. Yes, let us come together and decide what do we need now. Get rid of the old paradigm of huge hospitals. And there's some downsides. For instance, maternal care. Many hospitals are not closing, but they're eliminating health care for mothers, pregnant women. So that means, guess what? We need some maternity centers somewhere. Doulas need to be working harder. So let me just give you a little history about this that might help us make the adjustment more quickly, more readily, because of what it represents. Let's look at what this whole system represents that we've all been privy to or bombarded by or forced down our throats, because in the past, our parents experienced a much more peaceful, calm, natural system. But we're looking at now a system that was created out of corruption. And here's the proof behind it. Let me play hospital, big pharma history here.
We have an evil and corrupt medical system. You might believe that the Western medicine that we have today always existed, but it's only about 100 years old. The one you can thank is John D. Rockefeller. He was an oil billionaire that became the richest man in the United States. In 1863, he opened his first oil refinery in Cleveland. Rockefeller believed that competition was sin and that he needed to eliminate the competition. Therefore, he started to buy every oil refinery that he could find in Cleveland, and within 2 years, he owned most of them. Over a decade later, his company Standard Oil owned most oil refineries in the United States. His control over the oil market created the first American monopoly. The government didn't like this, so they forced his company to split into smaller companies. Because of Rockefeller's greed, not many people liked him. He wanted to fix his reputation, but at the same time earn even more money. Then he found a brilliant solution. Rockefeller found out that there was a way to use his oil to create drugs. His oil was only worth about a nickel per gallon, but if he used his oil to create drugs, he could earn millions of dollars per gallon. In order for him to succeed with his plan, he bought the German company IG Farben. It was the same company that would later assist Hitler when he killed Jews. Rockefeller's biggest threat was natural health. One big problem with natural remedies was that it wasn't possible to patent them. Therefore, he needed to eliminate it. The first step in the takeover of the medical system was to take over the medical schools. Rockefeller then employed a man called Abraham Flexner. his task was to make a report of the medical schools in America. Flexner was against natural health and believed that it was quackery and that hospitals needed to use allopathic scientific medicine. Flexner released his report in 1910. In his report, he said that American schools should impose higher admission and graduation standards. The Congress then accepted his report, and medical schools had to teach allopathic medicine. Allopathic medicine is when you use drugs to treat illnesses but don't cure them. When Rockefeller got the green light that medical schools had to teach allopathic medicine, he and the Carnegie family gave grants to medical schools. They told the medical board that they would receive money, but they had to have one representative on the board of directors. And after that, medical doctors started to treat illnesses with drugs. Rockefeller also created the American Medical Association. This organization introduced a medical licensing system. Only doctors that had a license could work as a doctor, and everyone else that used natural remedies got eliminated. The Rockefellers are one of the biggest names in the eugenics movement. It's the belief that the world is overpopulated and that we need to shrink it. Rockefeller and other elite banking families believed that they were better than anybody else and that they needed to create a pure race. The eugenics movement started in America before Hitler killed Jews. It was actually the Rockefellers that introduced this concept to him and helped him kill a lot of people. The Rockefellers also started the organization Planned Parenthood. Its aim was to reduce pregnancies in women. Bill Gates' father was once the leader of this organization, and that's the reason why Bill Gates is so involved in eugenics. The Rockefellers and other elite banking families also created the Federal Reserve. It's a central bank in America that creates money from thin air. Bankers met in secrecy in Jekyll Island, 1910. Their plan was to take over the financial system. In 1913, they got the Congress to pass a bill where the money would be created from a central bank. And with the control over the production of money, the Rockefellers and other elite families could now buy everything they wanted. The aim of Big Pharma medicine is not to make people healthy. Instead, its goal is to make everyone sick, because you can't earn a lot of money if people are healthy. All drug companies work together as one network. The whole system can only continue if there are sick people. If people were healthy, then the whole system would collapse. You can't become healthy if you follow the corrupt system. Psychopaths created the medical system that we have today, and they still run it. Unless we don't realize this, we will continue to stay sick and never heal. It's time for you and me to learn about health and don't trust this evil cartel.
Wow, that's just too much truth. I don't know if we can handle that. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I didn't even listen to that whole thing when I found it. I thought, oh, this would be a good one to play. Whoa, that was way. Let's take a break. I got to take a break, take a deep breath. I just hope this show stays on. It sounds like censorship, but we're going to just pray over the whole show. Woo, that's true. I might have to play that again at the end for those who might miss it. That just put it all together. We're going to take a break, take some breath, and come back with more truth. I don't know if you can handle it after that, but that was just mind-blowing. Oh, my goodness. In fact, we ought to be protesting at hospitals and shut them down after that one. But let's take a break, and we'll come back with more truth. We can handle it.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. Welcome, welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. This is such an important topic. I didn't realize how important until I listened to that last video. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we got some callers. I'm going to open up the mic. But if you just joined us, the last hour, we've been developing the problem of America's hospital crisis. It is a crisis, number one, in rural areas, especially with they don't have a lot of facilities in the beginning and a lot of sickness, unfortunately, in many rural areas because McDonald's is there and all the other junk food is there. So they got plenty of processed foods to kill them. So even in Atlanta, places like Atlanta, Chicago, there's going to be a crisis of hospitals because the system is broken. And we are now in the fourth and fifth dimension. And these systems are not going to work. If you listened to the history of the Rockefellers in that last hall, eugenics promotion, Bill Gates promotion, it's all in that hospital system. When you go into a hospital, that's the energy you are presented with when you go into a hospital. Boost drinks, all this crappy food. Some of them are getting better on the food. Laying in a hospital waiting for what? Drugs that Rockefellers. I believe Rockefellers might be Zionists too, which adds to the whole big picture of what this energy in this system has produced, sickness. And we had a caller, Mikhail, brought forth the conscious and the community as part of the solution to change, psychology of adjustment. Once you get this type of truth, you got to make a decision.
whether you're going to improve your health or you're going to wait till you have to go into one of these Rockefeller-created institutions that give you more drugs that want to kill you. They don't want to make you healthy. The whole plan of hospitals is to keep you sick so they'll have money, profit. So let me go to the phone and get your voice, your opinion, your comments, because this is all about all of us participating in the change. Big C word is change that we need to introduce to our communities to help us get out of this wicked Rockefeller-created system of drugs, 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 and sick, sick, sick. So I'm going to open up 706-202. That looks like our brother Kwame Sunhorse. How are you this beautiful rainy day in Florida? Is it raining in Georgia?
Grand rising, Sister Viata. No, it isn't. It's kind of overcast, and it's still t-shirt weather, so we're still good. The part that, and I thank you for that informative clip that you played, because we got to understand what are we dealing with, because I've been researching and studying. It's called learned helplessness. Learned helplessness. And this is the part of what it is, that what you're sharing is a part of that monopoly that they created in being able to make people helpless, because nature has all the remedies of healing, and the creator is the only one that heals. Those people that practice medicine and those pharmaceutical companies that copy nature are in bed together in monopolizing this system of making one feel helpless. And this is the part that we have when we talk about post-traumatic slave syndrome, or we talk about post-traumatic stress disorders. Because of these, we have to look at, there is also post-traumatic growth theory, and how do we grow out of that which has been created? And these are the ways in which we first have to understand the basis of how it came into being, the eugenics, the medical industry, the pharmaceutical. Then we make a choice to change. Each individual has to make, it's an individual choice to change your life, because it's their monopoly. We as a people have to look at how are we going to make a change, even though we know this system is in place. And this is the part of what they taught and brought this together by first starting with training dogs with shock to see how to make them depressed and not do their natural inborn behavior. And so these are the things in which they've done to the human in being able to give them these shocks and these traumas in order to create this part of being helpless and saying, no, I can't, that's not able. No. All things are possible when you believe in your source, because Rumi says everything in the universe is within you. When will you learn to use yourself? When you have the power of understanding that the power is within your heart and your spirit, then you have no way of failing. And so these are the challenges of undoing the learned helplessness. This is a whole series, and I think I've sent it to you. You can go on. It's a whole, especially for our people, because they've done it. For people, it's called the effects of the historical trauma on learned helplessness and self-fulfilling prophecy. These prophecies that they know are here, that the world is changing, that we're in this fifth dimension, these are the prophecies of old, of our elders telling us that we have the possibilities of this earth changing and we're changing with it. The part that they know about it is how do we try to put as much interference in our consciousness, but they can't. Even with all the world wide web, the wood wide web is greater. The human frequency, the planetary alignment,
all of these tools that are coming from above are coming onto the planet, into the consciousness, but we have to be able to go within and seek out our truth that is being activated in us and stop that eating a diet and nurture. We have to put nutrition in, not a diet. Nutrition is the nature and not the diet. The diet is the how, here, this is how you die. These are the five food levels that you use to die.
Yes, thank you, Kwame. You know, the key word is helplessness because, and I've got two more calls. Thank you so much. Helplessness, that is what people felt when these hospitals closed. They started telling their stories about, oh, my father had a heart attack and he couldn't get to the hospital and he died. Helpless. Oh, my wife, the story I started out with earlier, the wife was pregnant, she had a heart, she couldn't get to the hospital and she died. People think that if a hospital closes, they're helpless. But now we are seeing this problem that has a big solution, and Kwame just laid out a lot of the education.
Admiral Nelson Bay.
773-221.
Thank you, Sister Viada, for facilitating the promulgation of that most vital information that you shared just now. You see, the whole thing about John D. Rockefeller trying to maximize his profit from, you know, oil and pharmaceuticals, I mean, that is evil. And that evil is going to be replaced by that satanic energy is going to be replaced by divine energy and the energy of intention of well-intended individuals. And so we see a shift, which has been long prophesied in the Baha'i faith, about this future federated world commonwealth, which I, as someone who is well aware of the Baha'i Ministry of Order, the Universal House of Justice, et cetera. You know, this is a time that wise and capable souls are to use what they have inside themselves, like what Brother Kwame Sunhorse, invoking the words of that great Persian philosopher Rumi. He knows a lot more about Rumi than I do. I should really study Rumi a whole lot more. We have everything that we need within us, and so it's time for us to utilize our internal potentialities to bring about the world order of Baha'u'llah, which is the parallel system that's going to replace Satan's sin-sick world.
Thank you, Nelson Bay, and you bring out, again, the evil spelled back live. So you, brother, are bringing our attention to the divine order that is coming out of this crisis, American hospital crisis. The whole system is evil, and if we spell it backwards, the creator is saying, live now. We have been under this evil Rockefeller, and I believe the Rockefellers are Zionists, which makes it even more interesting that in that clip, they talked about Hitler, how they supplied the drugs to Hitler. Zionists supplied the drugs to Hitler to kill. Do your research, people. This whole war in the Middle East is just bringing out Hitler. We all need to be aware of who's running the show and how we need to turn this into live, L-I-V-E, backwards. So 262-833, your mic is open. Welcome, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Greetings. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Is this Brother Eddie?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. How are you doing, and how is the family doing this morning?
Well, this family is doing great. We got all this rain. It is just awesome, awesome. My neighbor has the nerve to be trying to somebody put a roof on his, a new roof on his house in the rain. I'm like, whatever. Anyway, we're doing great in Florida. How about you in Chicago?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Even better that I got myself up to listen to this class. It's great.
Hallelujah.
And again, for me, it's about the numbers and everybody's, you know, giving the same number, different words. They change the words. The number stays the same, and I always bring the five. I got five on it. And starting off with your five with that rainy day. Rainy is 14, which is five. But getting to the point of the class, the five is also hospital. Hospital is 32. And we have to watch the hospitals because I've said it for the longest, the hospitals bring death. Death is 23. This death is being promoted by the doctor, 23, and the nurse, 23. And we know it's not all doctors nor all nurses, just like it's not all of anything. And again, they bring the three Ds, dead, death, and die, are all five. Dead, 14, death, 23, and die, 14. The 555. It's not for our health because hospitals are supposed to do what we are saying we can do naturally. It's called heal thyself, healthy self. Heal. Heal is 14. We can do it once we change our five called thought. Thought is 41, and it comes directly from 14, our brain. We have the capacity to do it. We have to armor up, like they say, the armor of God. Armor is 14. We have to use the armor for the growth. Growth is 31. I threw that in, and that's the wrong number. But it's dealing with our growth. But it's knowing what our capability is. Knowing, as in knowing thyself, knowing is 23, which is the 5. And this will bring about the change that we're all talking about that starts from within and, again, abandoning these hospitals. Get out because they are death, five death camps. So, again, we have the ability and capability to heal ourselves once we make healthy choices. Heal thy choice. We can do this, family. And like I said, we all have bits and pieces by the English and understanding English is 32, which is the 5. This is an occult language. Occult is 23. So once we start to see the words by the numbers, we're able to sift through all of this coded nonsense because code is 14. And the true code comes from within. It's within us. They got us talking about. That's why we feel helpless. Because, again, we've given the authority, by the way, authority is 41, to the doctor, 23, to the physician, 32. Ain't that something? Doctor and physician is the same number. It's just turned around. That's why they tell you your doctor is a practicing physician. And who is he practicing on? You and I. With that, peace and peace and love, family. Love being 14 and in peace is 23. I love you.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. And this is where we are in 2023, learning about the numbers that confirm the need to change, the numbers that tell us we're on the right path. And so our education has started to come out, terrible, evil system that we're in. We've got some comments here from Washita Wellness Center, Radiant Uprising. Thank you for that beautiful greeting. And she says, you smoking true signal. I'm telling you, that true signal, that last true signal just blew me away. Because how many of us even overstand the connection to the Rockefellers and what's going on even in the Middle East, the wars in the Middle East, and how the Zionists, the Rockefeller Zionists, started this whole evil hospital system that does not bring life at all, promotes sickness with all the drugs that keep people dependent on them. And so we're looking at this whole history coming in our face. You know, history is in our face right now. And if we're paying attention, we can move forward with the change that is so needed right now in our world. In fact, the idea of a, quote, ceasefire is not just in the Middle East, but it's in our systems. Okay, so the fire that we've all been experiencing is the inflammation. When people are inflamed, imagine the emergency situations that people get into that require them to go to the hospital. A lot of it, even if it's a car, let's say a serious car accident, puts your body into fire inflammation mode. Everything is on fire inside of you when you have an extremely stressful situation. Fire, fire, fire. So this smoking truth signal, she's right on point. The smoke is become, when the fire is being put out, guess what? There's smoke, right? The smoke comes up. I had my fire alarm go off yesterday, and this my son is into so much technology. He put a firebox here, and every time I was burning incense, and I put the incense up top, and the smoke went right to the fire alarm. I'm like, emergency, emergency! I went, oh my goodness, what's going on? And I'm in PTSD mode because I left the pot on in my son's house one day, and left came over here, and the alarm came on. Emergency! I'm like, what? Where? And I run over there, and his house is filling up with smoke. Oh my goodness! Because I left open all the windows and just turned the fire. Oh, it was stress. I was in. I'm still in pee because every time this fire alarm goes off, I go, oh my goodness, where's the fire? Where's the smoke? So, sister, you started it. You're smoking truth again. So here we are today, learning about a system that is so evil in its history. That's my point. History is in our face to make the big C changes. So I am so glad that we have a collective body here to grow and ready to make changes. And even in your neighborhood, if you have someone in the hospital that ends up in the hospital, just know they're inflamed, and we want to help them put out the flame. That's our job when we become conscious, when we become educated. Sweat Lodge, put out the flame. There, you're going to wash a flame in the Sweat Lodge, but it's not in you. A Sweat Lodge helps you reduce the flame, put out the inflammation in you. And then so many things in our society and in natural medicine. I want to just play this less than 1 minute clip about the difference between, which is where we're going to go in the next half hour, the difference between allopathic and holistic medicine. We need to be so clear about that, because if you have a medical professional or doctor who brings out the prescription pad, this is where you start thinking it's time for a change. And your antennas go up. The prescription pad is a Rockefeller, evil created philosophy, thinking that brings you into more sickness so that you can feed big pharma. So here's just a quick definition of allopathic, which is what we've been seeing in America's hospitals that are now in crisis. Hallelujah. And holistic.
The difference between allopathic and holistic medicine. Allopathic is a traditional modern medicine that treats a disease process, usually with drugs or surgery, and they use the treatment to affect some kind of a physical change in the body. Holistic care, on the other hand, treats the whole person instead of a disease, and treats a body, mind, and spirit. And a typical facet of holistic care is we work within the scope of the body's own natural healing capabilities. And we try to augment the body's own healing capability instead of trying to correct body parts through drugs or surgery.
So basic information, history of allopathic versus holistic. We want to move forward and deal with the mind, the body, and the spirit versus here's a drug, fix the physical. That's what we've been, and that's what hospitals generally do. I know that you have in some hospitals, though, they might bring in a pastor, rabbi, or somebody to help you deal with your mental stuff. But generally, that doesn't happen because they're a business. This is a truth that everybody should be aware of. Hospitals are a business. They are not interested in you getting healthy because they're not going to be in business. And maybe that's what's going on in the rural areas. More people are getting healthier, we hope. And this is causing less income to come into these broken, evil systems created by Rockefeller and the Zionists. I'm going to put that in there because that's what we all need to be aware of. Zionists are everywhere in our government, in the everywhere there's Hollywood. That's what part of the problem is in our ability to change. There's influence of people from historical perspective to now who have one interest in mind: money, 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 and profit. Let me go to the phones before I go to the break because I don't want to miss anyone. 872-200. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Good morning. This is Kofi.
Well, Kofi, how are you today? Yes, I can. Go ahead.
I'm fine. Staying away from those doctors. The last 10 years, me and so many people on the internet have been bringing up natural remedies, and they've noticed that. And with this, finally they put the COVID vaccine on the shelf next to the flu. So they kind of parked it next to the flu virus that the flu came out in 1920 to 1928 in the pandemic. Same game. They brought it out the same way. And people get mad at me because I explain. They just shook y'all in the boots and brought out a new drug and parked it on the shelf for you. And the whole key was they noticed that people were all on the internet giving natural remedies of preventative disease to prevent you from getting sick, And that's a violation, to these Zionists, to these medical people, even me, I've got a call from a couple of doctors cursing me out for giving their patients herbs and getting their blood pressure down. You know what I mean? It was like a gang war. They'll call me, "Who are you? Why did you give my patient this herb? Her blood pressure down. Why you do that? I lost money." I'm like, "Wow, yeah." So what you're saying is so true. But the thing is, and this is my question for you, when a person is feeling bad, got a headache, or just going through something, the first thing that they do is go get some medication or go to the doctor. And I tell, even my brother had a headache, and I go, "Hey, man, just drink some celery juice." "Oh, man, I don't need that. I'm gonna go get some medication." That's where I think needs to be taught. When you get ill or when you're feeling bad, don't the first your first thought is not to put meds in your body. to numb the pain or go to the doctor, first thing you need to do is, this should be a class. We should be teaching naturopathic and holistic medicine to our youth, and keep them away from these medical. I don't want to give them a bad name, but you know who they are. But what do you think about that as far as educational and then kind of curbing the desire to just go to the doctor for anything? And that's what I was talking about.
Thank you, Kofi. You bring up a really excellent point about how to respond to the physical symptoms in the body without running to an emergency room, okay? And I had a really interesting experience with a friend of mine. We were on our way to view some land, and he started having chest pains. And he said, "Oh, we got to go to the hospital. I'm like, wait, we're in the middle of nowhere. And it's like we were literally in a rural area, no hospitals. I didn't know where. We were near Gainesville, in fact. I'm like, okay, I don't know where Gainesville Hospital is, but what? So what did I tell him to do? Breathe. Start breathing. Deep breathing. Deep breathing. So I'm driving, and he's there. I'm panicking, and I'm like, start breathing. We're breathing. Deep breathing. Breathe in. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. And what do you know? His body started balancing out, and the chest pains, which ended up being gas, went away. So you are so right, Kofi. We're in class now. I consider, as Brother Harris, Eddie Harris comes on, we're in class, and all of us who are participating from the beginning of Mikhail bringing in consciousness community, Kwame bringing in nature, Brother Harris bringing in the importance of numbers and universal cosmic order, and then you bringing in, we're all teachers here today, and all of those here are in class. So thank you all for showing up for class. And I'm just directed by spirit every week to issues in our society that are important right now, what people need to deal with, what people need to change, what people need to make psychology of adjustments in their thinking. This is how we are operating now to overcome this America's hospital crisis, which is a blessing, okay? In my mind, this is a blessing that the hospital's in the crisis, because the Rockefellers are already ruling the Middle East right now. The Israel conflict, in my mind, is about the Rockefellers, Zionists, having the weaponry, the power, the propaganda to oppress and genocide a group of people who don't have the same level of weaponry to fight a battle. And here we are in the United States of America, Estados Unidos, with the same spiritual battle going on, the same battle. If you look at it, the history of this country, we're influenced by the same people who sent drugs to Hitler to kill the Jews. They're trying to do the same thing in this country, with hospitals, with the medical system, big pharma. What did we just go through for the last 3 years? A huge, huge campaign to get everybody jabbed up, injected, so that we all can be zombies for big pharma. And then they're starting the whole campaign again. Anybody fall in for this campaign again, you need some psychological counseling. We got Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays who can help you out with some psychological counseling, professional, beautiful sister. We got Zelda on Monday Morning Mindfulness, who can bring you back to your right mind with breathing exercises and awesome guests. We got Naima Latif in the Muslim community, where you can learn the truth about a people, a religion, and bringing in topics. And then we got tomorrow morning, Deborah is going to help us travel out of this mess. We're going to go on a travel excursion with Deborah. And so then we have, I forgot, Jody on Tuesday, who always has awesome guests. So your classroom for this, making this psychology of adjustment, is right here on the Female Solution. So we're going to take a break. I think I missed my break. So So if you have any more questions, comments, by all means, press 1. And I've got some more audios to play to just keep reminding us about the solution, change. What is it we need to do? Educate ourselves and then look for classes like this one. This is a free class. This class would cost thousands of dollars in a university setting or some other setting. But the Most High Spirit, loving spirit of our Creator, is giving us all kinds of options to turn the evil of the hospital system into live and life. So again, I thank all of you for being here. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
So we're back. I'm going to keep moving because I want to cover a few more things. I think all of us got the message about the crisis being a blessing. If anyone didn't, raise your hand if you have a comment, or let me go to Facebook. Do we have any more comments? Okay, we're still smoking truth signals. Okay, good. I want to just go to another audio about what we need to be doing now that we have the solution of change and how we need to prepare for it. But let's just first have, and I'm going to read something from Brother Eddie that he just sent. Let's just have a prayer at this point. That's a prayer, a serenity prayer, because what we have to all be doing across the whole earth is promoting peace, because the propaganda is all about war. It's funny that even though the majority of the world, even 60% of Americans, are saying we want a ceasefire, we want to stop this war, we don't want any more money going to that Israel, the government is saying, F you. Our government has put a finger up to us Americans. Because we don't agree on much, but most of the people in this country are agreeing they want to see a ceasefire, no more money going to Israel, and our government said, finger, middle finger up. So we have to really be, in my opinion, be in touch with spirit, creator, have peace about what we're going to do going forward in this country. And what our brothers and sisters are doing across the world is protesting. That's all. And the public opinion is being heard, because many governments in the Middle East, especially Muslim countries, are pausing on what they're going to do to stop the crimes that are going on in the Middle East. So I wanted to just take a minute, listen to the serenity prayer, because to me it helps us come back to...
Let's go for it right away.
Fight the people up. But how we support changes to bring more health, more life to our own selves. So this is a mind, body, spirit prayer. To breathe in this prayer. But focus. Focus.
God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change all I can, and the wisdom, yes, the wisdom.
To be discerning, listening for that voice of guidance, wisdom, so we can have peace. And one thing I've had to learn is about this temple I live in. So here's a quick lesson about the human body. When we are in touch with this temple, what is it? What is it doing? We're talking systems. If you have a headache, I'm going to give you an example. Something happened in our family. Someone had a big birthday. They drank a lot of alcohol. Okay, their blood pressure went up, all right? So when blood pressure went up, they start feeling weird being the kidney. They're, oh, taking their blood pressure. What's going on? Well, what did you do? What's your lifestyle been like? What have you been worrying? Have you fear? So what is it about the blood pressure going up and a headache surfacing, dizziness, the system, the whole system is off when you poison your body with a bunch of alcohol. So let's just take a quick review of the systems at play in this human sacred temple.
The human body is a complex network of cells, tissues, and organs that together make life possible. 10 major systems are responsible for the body's functions: skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, nervous, endocrine, lymphatic, respiratory, digestive, urinary, reproductive. The skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, and nervous systems in particular create an infrastructure that facilitates the other systems. The adult skeletal system is a framework of over 200 bones. They hold the body together, give it shape, and protect its organs and tissues. The skeleton also provides anchor points for the muscular system, which includes three types of muscles: skeletal, smooth, and cardiac. They are found throughout the body and facilitate movement. Nestled within these muscles is the cardiovascular system, a pipeline that includes the heart, blood vessels, and the blood itself. Also called the circulatory system, the cardiovascular system delivers oxygen, white blood cells, hormones, and nutrients throughout the body. Lastly, the nervous system is a communication network of nerve cells that the body uses to transmit information and coordinate bodily functions. It's comprised of the brain, the hub of sensory and intellectual activity, the spinal cord, and the many cranial and spinal nerves that emanate from them. This infrastructure, created by neurons, blood,
muscles, and bones allows three other systems to regulate the body's environment, the endocrine, lymphatic, and urinary systems. The endocrine system is a series of glands that use information carried by the nervous system to help regulate the body's processes. Thanks to this neural connection, endocrine glands, such as the thyroid, are aware of the amount of hormones and other chemicals they need to produce. These chemicals are then distributed throughout the body by way of the cardiovascular system. The cardiovascular and nervous systems are also utilized by the lymphatic system, a collection of lymph nodes and vessels that help regulate the body's defenses. Also called the immune system, the lymphatic system uses neural pathways to transmit information about affected areas of the body and then sends out healing agents like white blood cells via the bloodstream. Another key regulatory system is the urinary system, which includes the kidneys, ureters, bladder, and urethra. The urinary, or renal system, maintains the body's electrolyte levels and filters waste from the blood. This waste is sent through the blood vessels into the kidneys and then expelled as urine. All of these systems require energy to function, and that's where the respiratory and digestive systems come in. The respiratory system is a group of passageways and organs that extracts life-giving oxygen from the air we breathe. Air enters the body through nasal cavities, travels down the throat, and is then transported to the lungs. The lungs extract oxygen for the body to use and then expel a carbon dioxide byproduct when we exhale. Energy can also come in the form of food. The digestive system is an approximately 30-foot series of organs that convert food into fuel. Food enters the system through the mouth, then moves into the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestines. Nutrients are absorbed into the body while solid waste is expelled through the anal canal, the end of the digestive tract. No matter the role, size, or shape of any of the body's systems, each began with the reproductive system. This system is responsible for creating life. The primary organs involved differ between the sexes, with ovaries, fallopian tubes, the uterus, and vagina found in women, and testes and a sperm channel found in men. Together, fertilization may occur, organ systems form, and then a child is born. Humans are complicated organisms, but when our 10 major organ systems are healthy, they ensure our well-being.
That is how crisis is. We work on our well-being more and more because we are not going to be helpless just because an evil hospital system collapses. And it is that we, as we've listened to the Rockefeller input in this whole system, and the difference between allopathic medicine, which is what hospitals practice, is throwing some drugs at you, palliative care, make you feel better until you die, basically, because they don't want healthy people. And then holistic medicine says, consider the systems in your temple. And Brother Eddie sent me a bunch of words that have five, and one of them is temple. The temple is five, love is five, heaven, kingdom, this heavenly microcosmic system that we live in is ruled and run by the brain. So that our I am affirmations are what are key in us turning this evil hospital system into live, turning that evil word around to live. It has a lot to do with your words and your thoughts. If you're running around saying, I'm helpless, I can't have, there's no hospitals in the neighborhood. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We're going to die. We're all going to die because the hospital system's gone. No, no, no. We're going to live, and we're going to affirm the I am power system that was given to us with 10 powerful systems, and it works well when our brain activated to become the command center for this body. So here, let's do I am affirmations before we go.
I am is your genuine self, your authentic consciousness. That which you attach to I am with repetition, with consistency, and with deep belief
is what you are and what you become. I am abundance. I am beauty. I am strength. I am happiness. I am gratitude. I am strong. I am wise. I am wonderful. I am persistent. I am positive. I am successful. I am determined. I am motivated. I am confident. I am thoughtful. I am considerate. I am compassionate. I am integrity. I am intelligence. I am truth. I am wealth. I am health. I am plenty. I am good. I am mind. I am joy. I am one. I am perfect. I am peace. I am whole. I am grateful. I am secure. I am free. I am consciousness. I am awareness. I am mind. I am insight. I am revelation. I am illumination. I am enlightenment. I am heaven. I am unlimited. I am harmony. I am prosperous. I am success. I am magnetic. I am gifted. I am vitality. I am calm. I am relaxed. I am pure. I am noble. I am awake. I am allowing. I am creative. I am blessed. I am worthy. I am blissful. I am beautiful. I am gorgeous. I am grace. I am focused. I am kindness. I am imagination. I am inspired. I am vibration. I am divinity. I am light. I am the life. I am the way. I am divine. I am source. I am you. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm becoming. I am who I will be. I am perfect. I am perfection. I am that I am. I am that I am.
I proclaim you cannot be affirming those powerful words, because those 10 systems are like a symphony, and they're going to play a beautiful orchestra of health, wealth, and balance in your body when you're affirming with words like that. So thank you. Everybody, come back tomorrow for Deborah's Move Around with Deborah. We're going to travel tomorrow with some beautiful energy from Deborah. And so share this.
All of you. We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India,
dannyeba.
Japan,
arigato.
Korea,
arigato.
Kamsahamnida. Russia,
spasiba.
Germany,
spasiba.
Danke. Poland,
dziękuję.
France,
dziękuję.
Merci. Spain,
merci beaucoup.
Gracias. Italy,
mucho gracias.
Grazie. Egypt,
gracias.
Shukran. Ghana,
shukran.
Madasi. Nigeria,
madasi.
Eshe. South Africa,
okay.
Ngiyabonga. Senegal,
ngiyabonga.
Geret. Kenya,
Geret.
Asante.
Kenya.
Israel.
Asante.
Toda. Pakistan.
Daraba.
Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Haina Maui, we're with you. Prayers out to you and to all my yogi friends. Sat Nam and Namaste.
Love you. Have a beautiful day in the rain or sun. Have a beautiful day.